In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's December 13th, year 2009, and it's the third Sunday in Advent. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, today we're going to be reading from my End Time Signs book, and we're going to be reading from my article, A Visitation of the Harlot. And it was written in September 2001. In regards to the fall of the World Trade Centers. A Visitation of the Harlot. 9/11/2001. That's when the visitation took place. It was the apostate Jews' first overthrowing of the harlot. Mm-hmm. Throwing the harlot off their back. Luke 13:2-5. Think you that these Galileans were sinners above all the men of Galilee because they suffered such things? Or those 18 upon whom the tower fell in Siloam and slew them? Think you that they also were debtors above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? No, I say to you, but except you do penance, you shall all likewise perish. End quote. The fall of the World Trade Centers and the attack against the Pentagon in the United States of America on September 11, 2001 is just a minor visitation of the harlot for her great sins. The harlot has not yet accomplished the task she is destined to fulfill, which is bring the Antichrist to power by supporting and defending the Antichrist Jews and their state of Israel, which is an abomination of desolation in a place where it should not be. It is the Zionist religious Jews that are bringing Antichrist to power. Quote, I am come in the name of the Father, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, that's the Antichrist Jesus is referring to, him you will receive. John 5:43. The purpose of the attack against the USA is twofold. One, as a minor punishment, and here we can see how God used the ministers of the Antichrist to use that as his ministers of justice. He used the actual Jews and Zionists to punish his harlot. Then they're using her to come to power. One is a minor punishment from God. Two is a necessary step in Satan's plan to bring the Antichrist to power. His purpose was to make the harlot mad enough to war against Muslim terrorists and thus serve the purpose of apostate Israel. Just as Pearl Harbor served the purpose to thrust the USA into World War II in order to defend the Judeo-Masonic cause of bringing Antichrist to power. Satan controls all non-Catholics and manipulates them to the degree that God allows. Satan plays one group against the other to ultimately serve his purpose, which is to bring the Antichrist to power. Apostate Jews, Muslims, and Protestants serve Satan. They are used and abused by him to suit his purpose. The crime committed by apostate Jews and Freemasons when they blew up the World Trade Centers and Building 7 and part of the Pentagon was not the worst crime. God allowed this in order to punish the United States citizens for following the reprobate rulers of the United States and as a necessary step in Satan's plan to bring the Antichrist to power. However, the worst crime was committed after the attack in which the First Commandment was violated in epic proportions. Any sin against the moral commandments, no matter how bad or how many are committed, such as abortion, pales in comparison to one sin against the First Commandment, which is a direct attack against God, an attempt at spiritual deicide. No human death, unjust as it may be, compares to an attempt to murder God. An attempt that succeeded when Jesus Christ was murdered on the Holy Cross. All sins against the First Commandment are an attempt at murdering the true God. It is the violation of this commandment that leads to all other sins, abortion, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, alcoholism, drug addiction, stealing, robbing, cheating, murder, greed, and gluttony, etc. After God allowed the USA to be punished by its own evil rulers, worse crimes were committed. Crimes of idolatry, which are sins against the First Commandment, were committed worldwide. Prayers were offered up to a god or gods, small g, in prayer groups that do not worship the true God at all. The worst crime was fallen away Catholics joining in prayer with professed non-Catholics, which is the greatest abomination in the eyes of God. Those who go by his name, so-called Catholics, prostituted themselves with false gods. They committed spiritual fornication with false gods. I will mention one such event. In Washington, D.C., in the National Cathedral, which is a Protestant cathedral, prayers were offered up by leaders of different religions while the heads of state attended. The apostate Theodore, quote-unquote, Cardinal McCarrick, he's not a real cardinal, he has no office, he's a member of the Vatican II Church and he's a public heretic, took part in this idolatrous event with other Protestants. He recited the gospel reading and then assisted the heretic Billy Graham to the pulpit, who then gave the main sermon, Billy Graham. And this bastard is sitting down listening to that bastard, Billy Graham, who hates the true Mary. That bastard McCarrick. I knew that guy when I was in Newark, New Jersey, and he was the archbishop there, and I was attending mass there for a while like a dummy. But anyway, I got sick of it. Almost made me sick and die from going there. This guy is a monster. Here's a guy that doesn't believe in the Immaculate Conception. He doesn't believe in the ever-virginity of Mary. He doesn't believe in the Holy Eucharist, and McCarrick is praying with him and listening to a sermon from this bastard. You want to talk about the worst crime? I'm talking about it here. Other Protestants also gave sermons. And then at the end, they all sang together to a God, small g, other than the God of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We quote from the Council of Carthage. And this is an infallible decree because this council was infallibly confirmed by a pope. One must neither pray nor sing psalms with heretics. And whoever shall communicate with those who are cut off from the communion of the Catholic Church, whether clergy or laymen, let them be excommunicated, end quote. That's a dogma, folks. And that's just one crime out of a multitude of crimes and let you know that these people are not Catholic and McCarrick is a public heretic. He was a heretic his whole life, I'm sure of that. Definitely when he went to seminary school, when he was taught those heresies on top of it. So, anyway, that's why he's not a true cardinal. All right, that, dear reader, is the crime of all crimes that cries out to heaven for vengeance against all who participated and condoned this idolatrous event and others like it worldwide. It calls down the blood of the martyrs who died fighting against all non-Catholic religions and false gods. There were a multitude of such events worldwide. How many fallen away Catholics are joining in prayer of professed non-Catholics? How many fallen away Catholics who belong to the Conciliar Church, the Vatican II Church, are praying rosaries in communion with other fallen away Catholics, traditionalists of all types? None are Catholic, even though they all profess to be Catholic. They prove they are not Catholic by having no shame or conviction when they pray with others who do not even believe as they do. I ask these fallen away Catholics a question. Have you asked the people you are praying with what they believe in, not just in general, but specifically? Do you care? Can you see how the Catholic faith is not your number one priority? And I will go on to say it's not a priority at all. Yes, the Catholic faith without which no one can be saved. It is because you also do not hold the Catholic faith yourselves that led you to commit these sins against the first commandment. A false ecumenism is rampant between fallen away Catholics of all types. Those who profess membership in the Conciliar Church as well as those who do not. Not only will God not hear these prayers because God does not hear the prayers of non-Catholics, but they will increase the wrath of God against them. Yes, God does not hear the prayers of non-Catholics. Quote, he that turneth away his ears from hearing the law, his prayer shall be an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. If a non-Catholic is of good will, God reads his heart and grants him actual grace in spite of his non-Catholic prayers. The actual grace comes from the Catholic Church, not from his non-Catholic prayers. This actual grace is used for the repentance and conversion of the non-Catholic. The prayers of a non-Catholic does not benefit anyone or any cause because they are not heard by God. He doesn't answer them. He doesn't accept them. They're an abomination to him. Because they're offered to a false God and a false religion. God only hears the prayers of Catholics. and unpenitent fallen away Catholics' rosary prayer is not heard by God and cannot benefit him or any cause he prays for unless he is penitent and preparing to enter the Catholic Church by abjuration, in which case it can then help him alone to come into the Church. If God sees a fallen away Catholic who has not yet embraced the truth is of good will in seeking the truth, God will give him actual grace to aid in his repentance and conversion, in spite of his prayers. St. Louis Maria de Montfort, in his necessary book for these latter days, True Devotion to Mary, speaks of 7 false devotions to Mary, all by outward appearance seemingly very sincere and pious, and each an abomination to God. St. Louis's book is the consummate writings of True Devotion to Mary that will help charismatics, the sign and wonder seekers, and pseudo-intellectuals, those seeking wisdom but never finding it, overcome their false devotions to Mary. A Catholic must not be swept away by emotions and misguided passions. All that is not of God is destined to perish in time and eternity. All non-Catholic religions are false, and thus are an abomination to God. We quote from the infallible Third Council of Constantinople in 381, "It is not allowable for anyone to produce another faith, whether from Hellenism or Judaism or indeed from any heresy." Hellenism was all the mythological religions of those false gods. And Pope Leo XIII in Testem Benevolentiae, "There is but one church, one by unity of doctrine as by unity of government. This is the Catholic Church." The false religions of apostate Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Protestantism, schismatics, New Agers, and those of no religion, such as atheists and agnostics, etc., are an abomination to God and destined to be destroyed in time and eternity. All those who die practicing them will be damned to everlasting hell. There can be no true peace in a world in which false gods are worshipped and false religions are practiced. Quote, "Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, thy peace had been as a river, and thy justice as the waves of the sea. But there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord." Isaiah chapter 48, verse 18 and verse 22. The wickedest sin is the sin against the first commandment, the worshipping of false gods and practicing of false religions. Catholics must stand back at a distance and watch non-Catholics war against other non-Catholics, and endure as a chastisement for their own sins and the sins of others when they themselves are persecuted. God uses the just to punish evildoers, and many times uses evildoers to punish evildoers. The Judeo-Zionists just punished the United States and the Masons by knocking down the World Trade Centers. See? The worst of the evildoers are fallen away Catholics. Quote, "For if flying from the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they be again entangled in them and overcome, their latter state is become unto them worse than the former." 2 Peter 2:20. Catholics, the very, very few that there are, must stand back and watch one evil nation fighting against another evil nation. Quote, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall go forth from the ends of the earth." Jeremiah 25:32. And quote, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be pestilences and famines and earthquakes in places." Matthew 24:7. In these final days, there is not one faithful Catholic nation. All nations have been handed over to the Antichrist who serves Satan, quote, "and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him," the Antichrist, "over every tribe and people and tongue and nation." Apocalypse 13:7. And quote, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him that sat upon the horse and with his army." That's Jesus Christ and us few Catholics on earth. Apocalypse 19:19 and his heavenly army. Catholics must not get swept away. That's interesting. He says every, almost the whole world is worshiping the Antichrist. So all these nations that are coming together with a global one world government are all working for the Antichrist. Every one of them. I always warn the world leaders. If you're hearing a sermon right now, you better step down right away from your position. Get out of politics completely and come over here and visit us in New Mexico, and we'll give you a good job of leadership to do in the true Church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church. Really, get out of politics. Get out of leadership positions. It's very, you know, every one of them is serving the Antichrist now. Catholics must not get swept away defending a cause that is not pleasing to God. A Catholic must put his religion, his faith above his country and nationality, even above his own family members. Quote, "For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians 3:26 and 28. "But as many as received him, he gave them power to be made sons of God, to them that believe in his name. We are born not of blood, of race or family, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." John 1:12-13. Any nation that rebels against the God of the Catholic Church is destined to fall. And that includes Catholic nations that rebel. Just look at history and you will see this is true. God blesses only faithful Catholic nations and faithful Catholic people. Quote, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," faithful Catholic nations, "the people, faithful Catholics whom he has chosen for his inheritance." I'll read that without the paraphrases here. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance." And that is the Catholics under the new covenant era. There's no other chosen people but Catholics. And even evil Catholics are not blessed by God, and they're an abomination. But good Catholics and a faithful Catholic nation is the only nation that is pleasing to God and will have true peace and be blessed. "While God is cursed, punished, and when they did not repent, destroyed, once Catholic nations that fell away from the Catholic faith." And if a Catholic nation goes bad, he punishes them even worse than the others because they go by his name. We quote from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 to 7. "Hear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have brought up children, Catholics, and exalted them, but they have despised me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel, Catholics, have not known me, and my people have not understood. Woe to the sinful nation, fallen away Catholic nations, a people laden with iniquity, fallen away Catholics, a wicked seed, ungracious children. They have forsaken the Lord. They have blasphemed the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of the Catholic Church, the Catholic God. They are gone away backwards. For what shall I strike you anymore, you that increase transgression? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is sad. From the sole of the foot, from the fallen away laymen, even to the top of the head, from the fallen away leaders, so-called rulers of the church." It's not even the Catholic Church anymore, it's the Vatican II Church, with the apostate antipopes, the apostate bishops, and the apostate so-called cardinals. "There is no soundness therein. Wounds and bruises and swelling sores, they are not bound up, nor dressed, nor fomented with oil. Your land is desolate, your cities are burnt with fire." That will happen in Rome in the future, that's coming very shortly. "Your country, strangers, non-Catholics, Protestants, Schismatics, Muslims, pagans, devour before your face, and it shall be desolate as when wasted by enemies," end quote. It's already conquered because none of them are Catholic. You have Muslims, you have fallen away Catholics, you have Jews, you have all kinds of unbelievers in the European nations that were a one-time Catholic, and they will be destroyed, as I mentioned, by the Antichrist. He will lay low their churches desolate, and Rome itself will be burnt and laid low desolate. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is December 20th, year 2009, and it's the fourth Sunday in Advent. We're going to continue on reading from my article, A Visitation of the Harlot. The chapter heading is No Peace But Utter Destruction for Non-Catholic Nations. After God has used the evildoers as ministers of his justice to punish fallen away Catholics, he will in turn destroy them. The wrath of God shall strike all false religions, which are congregations of sinners, and all unbelieving nations, non-Catholic nations. Quote, "In the congregation of sinners, a fire shall be kindled, and in an unbelieving nation, wrath shall flame out." Ecclesiasticus 16:7. "Every nation in person that will not serve Christ the King, as found only in the Holy Catholic Church, shall be killed at the command of Jesus Christ and suffer eternal damnation." Quote, this is Jesus speaking, "But as for those my enemies who would not have me reign over them, bring them hither and kill them before me."
Luke 19:27.
Luke, the infamous Luke 19:27. Infamous to those who don't like it. This is one of our favorite verses. To show that, no, God's not a wimp. He does kill people in the Old and in the New Covenant. Same God. And quote, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee," non-Catholic nations and non-Catholic kingdoms, shall perish, and the Gentiles, non-Catholics, shall be wasted with desolation. Isaiah 60:12. Only the just nation, a faithful Catholic nation, and just people, faithful Catholics, meaning good Catholics, shall enter into God's blessings. Quote, open ye the gates and let the just nation that keepeth the truth enter in. Isaiah 26:2. And quote, justice exalteth a nation, but sin maketh nations miserable. Proverbs 14:34. And so therefore we're talking about only good Catholic nations are blessed by God, not even bad ones. If it's a bad Catholic nation, God will destroy them if they don't repent and convert. Sooner or later he will take them down too. The primary act of justice is that a nation serves the true God, the God of the Holy Catholic Church, and those that do not will ultimately be miserable and eventually be destroyed, in spite of the illusion of prosperity. We read from Pope Pius X's A Supreme Apostolatus, paragraph 7. The desire for peace is certainly harbored in every breast, and there is no one who does not ardently invoke it. But to want peace without God is an absurdity, seeing that where God is absent, thence too justice flies. And when justice is taken away, it is vain to cherish the hope of peace. Quote, peace is the work of justice, end quote. Isaiah 27:17. There are many, we are well aware, who in their yearning for peace, that is, for the tranquility of order, band themselves together into societies and parties, which they style parties of order. Hope and labor is lost. For there is but one party of order capable of restoring peace in the midst of all this turmoil, and that is the party of God. It is this party, therefore, that we must advance and to attract as many as possible if we are really urged by the love of peace. Paragraph 9. Now the way to reach Christ is not hard to find. It is the Catholic Church. Rightly does the Church Father state, quote, the Church is thy hope, the Church is thy salvation, the Catholic Church is thy refuge. And Pope Pius IX, that is an encyclical on St. Francis of Assisi, states, people taught by experience of the past not to expect peace and security, if they do not return to God, look to the Catholic Church as the one source of peace and salvation. End quote. Sudden destruction will befall all individuals and nations who seek a false peace in spite of the illusion of peace. Quote, for when they shall say peace and security, then shall sudden destruction come upon them, as the pains upon her that is with child, and they shall not escape. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Any man who promises the utopia of peace in a world in which false gods are worshipped and false religions are practiced is a liar and a false prophet, and may I add, he's even illogical, according to his own false religion or God. Quote, and it was not enough for them to err about the knowledge of God, but whereas they lived in a great war of ignorance, they called so many and so great evils peace. Wisdom 14:22. Christ taught us that this world is evil and is destined to be destroyed by fire. Galatians 1:4. Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present wicked world. And 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world is seated in wickedness. And 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heaven shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. End quote. It is only Christ upon his second coming who will bring true and everlasting peace to the new world he will bring. And that world is only reserved for good Catholics. Next chapter heading, God always hated the United States of America. And I gotta tell this, I'll leave on record. God always does this. He knows how much we hate this harlot, you know, this false utopia and all that. Anyway, on the way over to the ranch today, when I'm driving, I'm looking on the right-hand side, and I usually look around and see what's going on, you know, and I look at some of these mobile homes, these home parks over where people are living, and I see a big pull-up with an American, United States flag, right? And I go, what is this, one of their Veterans Days or something? Because on Veterans Day, they're all over the place, you know? Well, this is just a regular, it's like Christmas even. It's like almost a smack in the face, you know, to us. But I see that, then I go no more than a half a mile, and I look down, and I see another pole with an American flag on it. So God's priming me for this part, you know, just to nail them. And their Veterans Wall down here, where they got their, for the Veterans War Memorial, they got a miniature harlot up there, the Statue of Liberty. It looks, it's like a little plastic replica with the torch and all that. That's the harlot. That's the Babylonian whore that represents New York. I look at that every day and it inspires me to continue preaching the way I am, you know. Boy, their pride goeth before destruction, the spirit is lifted up before the fall. So I look at these Freemasonic deist bastards that found this country. And they replaced our holy saints, our true saints, and guys like Charlemagne and King Saint Stephen of Hungary and these holy men that killed for Christ. I never learned about these people when I went to school. I'm learning about it now. We got a great movie. We just edited. It needed to be censored. But once it's censored, it's a very good movie on King Charlemagne and how he conquered the whole of Europe for the Holy Roman Empire, for the Catholic Church. How King Stephen of Hungary fought for the Catholic Church, and his right hand is incorrupt. Till today, you can even see it. We have a picture of it. We didn't learn about King St. Louis the Ninth of France. We didn't learn about Richard the Lionheart and all our heroes, our Catholic heroes, and the true saints that died as martyrs fighting for Christ. What did we learn when we went to school? What did these stupid Nova Soto schools give us? Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Freemasonic deists. They are not my heroes. They hated the Catholic Church. Enough that you people are teaching it to your own people. Our so-called Catholic priests, who were not Catholic, they were apostates and apostate bishops, had us learning this crap in school. I never learned about our true heritage of our true holy Catholic fathers and true holy Catholic saints. When you get done looking at a picture or reading a good story about a Charlemagne, or King Stephen of Hungary, or King Louis the Ninth, or of your St. Ambrose, and St. Augustine, St. Martin of Tours, St. Patrick. Real life stories, and not mushed down and watered down. And you look at that and say, I was deprived of this. It was kept away from me by this Masonic harlot that wanted us to blend in and be good Americanists. Which really means good humanists and Unitarians, where all religions are good and we don't criticize religions anymore. Throw religion out the window. We're all at this one big amorphous blob of people, have one thing in common, our human nature and free will. They leave out the true God. We grew up with this, folks, about Paul Revere and the Boston Tea Party and how and George Washington. Abraham Lincoln, and how George Washington never told a lie. Cut down a cherry tree and said, Father, I never told a lie. He was a Freemason who took an oath to lie. This country was built on lies. It was built by lying Jews and lying Freemasons and lying Protestants. It's a Protestant, it's a Judeo-Masonic Protestant country. Period. End of discussion. They've deprived us of this. The worst part is I don't so much, I'm not even as angry at the ones who did this, because that's what they are. They're deists, they're Masons, they're Talmudic Jews. The ones that God is the most angry at, that he's got the most wrath reserved for, is those who call themselves Catholic and brought that lie and told us the Freemasonic lie, the Americanist lie. It's those people, the nominal Catholics, the so-called Cardinal Gibbons, who was not a true cardinal, and Ireland and Keene, and all these people that denied the salvation dogma, that became Americanist heretics, and these wicked popes who allowed it to happen, and never stood up for a holy Catholic faith, never taught us our heritage, never gave us the faith. And without the faith, everything is lost, even if you did know parts of your heritage. It was a mess. It's a mess. But when you learn about the true teachings of the church and the true saints, and you learn about these holy men that fought and died for Christ, the holy conquistadors, the holy crusaders. No, not everyone was holy. No one ever said every crusader was holy. Not every Jew that went to war for Christ in the old covenant was holy. But when you had the most of them being holy, God gave them the victory. And they, like King David and Joshua, they were holy. Charlemagne, King Stephen of Hungary, King Louis the Ninth, Clovis, who converted. That he was the one who goes back from Charlemagne, and all these people that, and all the martyrs that died for Christ. When you read the martyrology, and went out into countries and preached the one true God and denounced all the false gods. All right. So what does the United States teach us? And I tell you, brothers, a thousand million times that when I learned United States history, it never went with me. I never bought it for one second. It was always goofy. It was phony. It was stupid. There were like huge gaps missing. You know what I mean? Huge gaps. Like, really, who are these guys? Why did they break away from Britain? Who was France? Whose side were they on? I mean, they told you nothing. It was a lie. They put these guys up on a pedestal. Benjamin Franklin, a Freemasonic and moral pig. These are our fathers. They ain't my fathers. You want to call them your fathers, then you're the devil. You have to tolerate it, yes, if you're under something like that. And you have to tolerate it, but to praise it? And to be learning about only that, as if these are our heroes? As a child, that's what I grew up on in the Our Lady of Good Counsel Church in Newark, New Jersey. And the guy that was at the time was Monsignor Weisbrod, was the Monsignor. And we had a couple of priests in here. You had these strict kind of nuns that were strict on the moral issues, but were horrible with the faith. And this is what we're learning in that school. No. We never learned our faith even. I'm telling you. The only time we had to learn the catechism was when we were confirmed. After that, we didn't have to learn nothing. We didn't know what a dogma was. We didn't know what a heresy was. We didn't know nothing. And you're going to tell me that was a Catholic church? You got another thing coming. And you're going to tell me that God blesses this country? You got another thing coming. When you look at the people that started this country, look at the massive lies you're being told down till today. That's on my conspiracy website that people refuse to believe. And you know why they refuse to believe it? Because they're liars themselves. Liars love other liars because they can lie with one another and get away with it. Because when you're in a country that does not accept that, they will not have such stuff. Presidents lie every time they get ready to be elected. And as soon as they're elected, they break every one of their promises every year. They lie by saying when they get married, they're going to stay married for life and then get divorced and marry another person and do keep on doing it. This country rots from the beginning. And when you get the true Catholic heritage under your belt. Now, instead, what do they do now? Not only did they not teach us about the true Catholic heroes, they denigrated them. They made them sound like barbarians or unjust, tyrannical monsters. Whenever they do speak about the conquistadors and the crusaders, or the kings that fought for Christ, or the Cristeros, and the Cristeros in Mexico, who fought for God and for Christ and for His Holy Church. And Pope Pius XI, that rotten, wicked Pope, turned his back on them. He wrote an encyclical to the Mexico, fight, stand up for the church against the Judeo-Masons. They really took him literally at his word and started fighting for it. And then he went back and said, back off and submit. You shouldn't be killing people down there, you're creating trouble. He blamed the Cristeros. He gave them the word to fight, and when they fought, then he told them to stop fighting. Matthew 23:2-3, the scribes and Pharisees that sat in the chair of Moses, all things what they say to you, observe and do, but according to the works, do ye not. They would preach something that was a dogma correctly in an encyclical, but not back it up when it came to deeds. How could they ever? They were ashamed of the Holy Catholic faith and the Holy Catholic dogmas. Because it would create tension between people and non-Catholics and cause wars and separations. So now this is not in the book. This is added to the book. All right? That had to be said because we just got this. Now, all these movies we mentioned, because this is going to be on record, the Charlemagne movie had to be edited. And we always edit out anything that's like maybe they pop a heresy in there or they pop an immorality in there or they lie about the guy's life. We cut those parts out. But when you learn about the true history of our true fathers that fought for the Catholic Church, that went out and missionary work and converted the heathens on and were martyred in the process of converting the heathens, rejecting the false gods instead of embracing them and respecting them, telling them how good they are and how they can be saved without Christ, without becoming Catholic. We grew up, I grew up, and this was before Vatican II. I was born in 1955. And I grew up on this garbage, this filth, this Americanist filth. And these wicked popes in Rome knew what was going on, but they didn't want to cause waves. We can form peace as long as we don't fight over religion anymore. But that's the only real reason why you should fight. There is no other real ultimate just reason to fight then but for religion. Even the guy who's in a false religion, if he's to be convicted about his false religion, is going to fight for it. If he's to be even non-hypocritical about that. But this is what we were taught in this harlot. It was so goofy. What was that thing about Paul Revere? The Boston Tea Party, and then Paul Revere wrote all night warning, the British are coming, the British are coming. You know, and, you know, Thomas Jefferson. And you look at their faces and their pictures, they look like plastic mannequins or something. Like, it was not real. The whole history was utterly false because it wasn't based on anything. There was no real underlying reason for what was happening. I never bought it. I couldn't stand it. I memorized what I needed to pass the test, and I threw it up after that. I'd go out and throw it up.
They didn't want to tell you the real reason, which was
rebelling
against God.
That's the real
thing that makes you make sense.
That's exactly right. Not only did they rebel against God in England when they became Anglican in 1534 under the schismatic and heretical King Henry VIII, they rebelled against the church then they rebelled against their own Anglican church in England and started the Episcopalian one in the United States. Rebellion begets rebellion, begets rebellion, begets rebellion. And there was no order with rebels. They keep rebelling. They never settled down in one thing. That's right. Did they ever tell us that? Who are these people? What's the principle of this country? Why was it stated? The whole thing, all men are created equal and liberty and for all, that's heresy. That's heresy, pal. It's the end of it. Liberty and justice for all and all this kind of stuff. Liberty for all? No, God doesn't give everybody liberty. And God doesn't give everybody liberty to do whatever they want. God has not given man license to sin, nor... there's a 2-1. That's a good one. I think it's Ecclesiastes 15:21. Yeah, God has commanded no man to do wickedly, and he has given man no license to sin. You don't have a right from God to worship a false god or practice a false religion. No, you don't. God hates those religions. He despises them and they're false. We can't respect them. We can't say they're equal. We can't say they have a right to even exist. They don't. Now, we love the people because they're still alive and have souls, but we hate their false belief. We hate their false god, and we hate their sins. It's the end of it. It's the end of it. The United States doesn't want that kind of stuff. They want to tell you that everybody's equal. All religions are equal. All gods are equal. Yeah.
2 Peter 2:19, promise them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of
corruption. 2 Peter 2:19, promise them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption. Liberty from what? You know what the United States preached you liberty? Liberty from God. Liberty from the Catholic God and slavery to Satan. And they don't even realize it. Jesus said in John 8:34, he who commits sin is a slave of Satan. They don't have true liberty. Only true liberty comes from the true God. They want to be liberated from the Ten Commandments, which only the Holy Catholic Church has. All right, now, I think we can go on with the article. Chapter heading is, God always hated the United States of America. The USA is the most dangerous enemy of God. It is a very seductive Protestant nation. Protestants use the holy name of Jesus in vain by worshiping a false, watered-down Jesus, and in so doing leave men with a false and bad impression of the true Jesus Christ. Quote, every spirit that dissolveth Jesus is not of God, and this is the Antichrist. 1 John 4:3. Protestants pass themselves off as true Christians when they are not truly Christians at all. They don't believe in the Catholic Christ. They don't believe in the Catholic Christ who's in the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. They don't believe in the Catholic Christ who was born of an ever-virgin, who was born of a virgin who was immaculate, free from all sin. They don't believe in the Catholic Christ who created the Holy Catholic Church and the papacy and gave the popes papal infallibility. That's the Catholic Christ, and that's not the Christ Protestants believe in. Sorry, pal, it's a false Christ that they believe in, and they're not true Christians. Only Catholics are true Christians. The United States of America was never a Catholic nation. The USA is the Babylonian harlot, mentioned in the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 18, and prefigured in Isaiah chapter 47. The USA is the epitome of the Masonic ideal, New York City being the center. The USA, Judeo-Masonic forces, is the physical Babylon that has corrupted Rome, and thus fallen Rome has become the spiritual Babylon. The USA was formed to make war against Catholicism actively and passively. The Judeo-Masonic USA supported the anti-Catholic forces in the French Revolution, fought on the side of the rabid anti-Catholic forces in the Spanish-American Civil War. The USA secretly defended the rabidly anti-Catholic Masonic government in Mexico, that persecuted and murdered Catholics, the Cristeros, when the Mexican martyrs, the Cristeros, were dying for the faith, the USA so-called cardinals and bishops turned a blind eye in favor of the Judeo-Masonic masters in the United States, choosing the USA and her false prosperity over the God of the Catholic Church. The USA during World War II defended the Judeo-Masonic cause to bring the Antichrist to power by siding with the rabid anti-Catholic allied nations, England, Russia, and the Free French. All ruled by Masons. Even Churchill was a Druid. I have a picture of him at a Druid meeting. He was also a Druid. All ruled by Masons in the service of Zionist Jews. When Antichrist no longer has use of the harlot, he will destroy her, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. The prophesied destruction of major cities in the USA, and especially the home base of the harlot, New York City. Quote, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, leaders of other nations, who have not yet received the kingdom, but shall receive power as kings 1 hour after the beast, the Antichrist. These have one design, and their strength and power they shall deliver to the beast. And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth, New York City, are peoples and nations and tongues. And all the different races in the United States, it's like a meld. And the 10 horns which thou sawest in the beast, these shall hate the harlot, the USA, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and shall burn her with fire, nuclear fire, Apocalypse 17, 12 to 17. You can see God's hand in mustering up a great hatred of the United States by the rest of the world. And I might add, rightly so, too, on top of it. Even though they're evil, the United States is even worse. And they're evil, too. They're all evil. And they're going to take the place of the harlot, then. And then you can have another harlot in Babylon take the place of this one. The number one enemy, the apostate Jews, who are directly employed in bringing Antichrist and other kings of the world to power, indeed have mentioned this very plan that they will fulfill the above prophecy. This will be covered in a future journal. You can read my book, Woe to You Who Call Evil Good. The worst terrorist in the world. The USA terrorizes and murders souls at a more rapid rate worldwide than any other country. The Babylonian harlot terrorizes souls with pornography, adultery, homosexuality, and homos are now getting married. So-called married, and gay, unions gay. What a horrible word that is. They're not gay. They're miserable. Bastards. The ones that are really publicly obstinate. And I even make an appeal to you, homosexuals. Have you no shame? And if you are one, don't tell nobody. Hide in the closet like you're supposed to and ask God to forgive you and He will cure you. But you obstinate ones that are out there flaunting the thing or even the worst. And this country encourages them in their homosexuality sin. Like that one stupid apostate priest in upstate New York who I spoke to. And he says, you don't realize how happy the homosexuals are when you tell them God created them that way. He put a pillow under a cushion under their elbow and let them rest comfortably in their sins, making them believe that it wasn't their fault, that it's God's fault. No, God didn't create men to be homosexuals. You become homosexual by demonic possession and your cooperation with that demonic possession by embracing that sin. And you can be freed from it completely. It's not in your DNA, and you weren't created that way. This country pushes that. And she pushes feminism. And she pushes materialism. And she pushes liberalism. And she pushes rock and roll and rap music. Perverted movies and television shows. And all filthiness in the public domain. As soon as she goes into an Iraq, evil as Iraq was because it was a Muslim country in Afghanistan, evil as that country was because it's Muslim, it wasn't as evil as this country, which is teaching you to break every one of the natural laws. They go in and they want to turn the people into homos. They want to get the women out of the house and feminize them to break down the hierarchic structure in the home and take the girls out and start educating them so they can go out there and work instead of stay home and take care of the house and raise children. You can't anybody see? They bring their drugs in there. Even more than it was before. And if they don't bring them in, they're exporting them, like in Afghanistan, when they're exporting the poppies and the opium over here to make heroin. The government's behind it. The GIs will even tell you they were given a strict order not to interfere with the poppy growing in Afghanistan. You know what those poppies are used for? to come over to the United States with heroin and kill people and mess their brains up. First kill their souls and then kill their bodies. And the United States is the hierarchy, the very top of the United States, is supporting the drug trade. Every now and then they arrest a small fish to make you think they're honest and they really care about it. Just look what they're doing over there. The GIs will tell you we were given strict orders to let them continue to grow their poppy. No, of course. The United States is making a lot of money on it. And then they talk about getting rid of the corruption in Afghanistan, and we want to have a non-corrupt Afghanistan? The United States? That's like Satan trying to tell Beelzebub to not be corrupt or a lower devil. Hi, I'm Satan, and I'm going to tell you, lesser devil, how not to be corrupt. And she's exporting a poppy out of there. And bringing the heroin into all the inner cities, along with the cocaine and the marijuana. I always said this as a kid when I was living in Newark, New Jersey. I knew where all the drugs were. It was a horrible city. It was one of the, like the Bronx in New York. I knew where it was. And you know what I used to say as a kid? I'm just a kid. I'm not the FBI and the CIA with all these scanner dishes and all this high-tech equipment. I know where the drugs are. Come here, Mr. FBI man. I'll show you. Follow me. You can get them over here in this building on the third floor, go around the back over here, knock on the door three times, walk over here, and the drugs come out over here. And I don't have all your technology. They can stop it instantly if they want. And my father, who lived in Hungary during World War II, told me when Hitler came to power, the drugs ended instantly. Instantly. And the pornography and all that stuff that was going on, he said that they took the top drug dealers in Hungary and they hung them, the top drug dealers. And hung them in the public square. And they went and festered out all the places. He said within 1 month there was no more drugs, no more pornographies. That's how quick you can stop it if the government's behind it. The government is supporting this because they're greedy. They will learn from the Jew and the Mason alike are trying to make a buck any way they can. And they don't care how that buck comes. That's why they want the oil industry to thrive the way it is, because the oil companies are making mucho dineros. Mucho dineros?
Mucho lechuga.
Oh, okay.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. Because the oil companies are making a lot. Big bucks money. And I will tell you, I got a car right now, a German car, a Jetta, that drives 50 miles a gallon, and it really does. You know how much money I save on that alone? But everybody knows, years ago, you could have had a car that went 80 miles a gallon. Why don't they do this? This is just common sense. It's frugality. It's efficiency. You know why they don't do it? Because the oil companies would lose half of their money. Just take it down. From 20 miles a gallon to 40, they just lost half of their profits. You take it from 40 to 80, you now cut that in half. Because they want to make money, and they don't care how they do it. They'll even do, if God let mankind go, he would destroy this earth. By just completely ruining it because of his greed. Because of his absolute greed. Because they want to keep these people in power. And now the only reason they're talking about trying to get cars that run better and not to depend on oil so much is because the Arabs are giving them oil and the Jews don't want the United States to have any connection or have the Arabs to have any influence over the United States. And that's the only reason that they're talking about it. But you can see everywhere you look, the United States are a bunch of criminals and gangsters. They will make money any way they can because you don't realize that people out there, if you're not a Talmudic Jew or you're not a Mason, they don't believe you even have a soul. The Masons are a little different. The Masons believe you have a soul, but they believe only Masons can be saved. It's weird. Anybody who's a non-Mason is like a goy cattle to them. You're allowed to rape and pillage them. You don't have to keep the Ten Commandments with a non-Mason. The Talmudic Jews are even worse. They believe that if you're not a racial Jew, you're a soulless beast. And so they can do whatever they want with you, and that's what they're doing. You say the United States is going over to Afghanistan because they care about liberty and justice and non-corruption? They're the most corrupt people in the world. They're more corrupt than these Muslim countries that at least have some of the natural laws they're living by. And you just go look what's going on in Afghanistan. You don't even care about the poppy plants because you're the one who's making a whole bunch of mucho bucks on it. And you're allowing it to come into the United States and kill people's souls and then kill their bodies. All right, can't you see what's going on here with this harlot wherever she goes? If you were bad, she makes you worse. If you were worse, she makes you worser. If you were worser, she makes you worsest. If you were worsest, she makes you most worsest. That's what happens. I study my grammar. Mucho must most worstest. All right. Now, the USA terrorizes souls by cursing, lying, cheating, stealing, covetousness, and deceiving. Terrorizes and murders souls by birth control and abortion. Terrorizes souls by allowing drugs to prosper and be readily available while paying lip service to a war against them. Will God show pity on a nation such as the United States? No, God will bring it to a horrible end. He shall terrorize it and destroy it. And he will allow the Antichrist to do that work. God will use Satan and the Antichrist as a minister of his justice in this regard. Quote, he had not pity on them, destroying the whole nation that extolled themselves in their sins. Ecclesiasticus 16:10. The first and foremost sin that the USA is guilty of is a sin against the first commandment and leads to all other sins. The USA allows blasphemy against Jesus Christ, His Holy Mother Mary, and the saints. The USA terrorizes souls by condoning and respecting every false religion under the sun, including witchcraft and Satanism. The United States is not one nation under God, but one nation under Satan. For all the gods of the non-Catholic religions are devils and idols. Psalm 95:5. For all the gods of the Gentiles are devils. That means non-Catholics in the New Covenant era. And 1 Paralipomenon 16:26. For the gods of the nations are idols. And 1 Corinthians 10:20. The things which the heathen sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. Muslims speak the truth when they say the USA is the great Satan. But what they do not realize is that they also are of Satan. Yes, Muslims are infidels, are in a state of damnation. But they are not as evil as the United States. Yes, the communistic Chinese are pagans and are in a state of damnation. But they are not as evil as the United States of America. What does it matter to Catholics in exile who their non-Catholic masters are? What does it matter if they are apostate Jews, Protestants, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, agnostics, or atheists? Catholics must pray for and call them to repent and convert no matter who their masters may be. And you will find that the people of a nation that is of a lesser evil will be more open to repent and convert, of course, after a great struggle, persecution, and at the cost of the blood of martyrs. That is always as it has been for true Catholics who set out to convert non-Catholics and non-Catholic nations. This is how God ordained it should be. Catholics must take up their cross and follow their master, Jesus Christ, and be ever ready to shed their own blood for the Catholic faith. Chapter heading, God does not bless America. God damns the United States of America. Who's that minister again?
Wright.
Reverend
Wright, yeah.
Heretical as he is, and he's on the road to hell, he's in a false religion, he has some redeeming qualities that God may see some goodwill in this man. So I make appeal to this Reverend Jeremiah Wright, I make an appeal to this Protestant heretic, who's on the road to hell, but he may be of goodwill and be with us one day. I don't know that, only God knows that. But I will tell him one thing he did say that was 100% correct, and don't you ever back off on it, when he said, God damns the United States of America. He can't bless. Well, that's correct. He also damns him, too, for his heresies. And I got to let him know that. You know, he's on the road to damnation, too. But he was right on that one. And he was also right when he said, well, Obama's a politician, so now he's got to take another road. He's got to start lying. Even about what he personally believes in. Now, that's how low it gets. That's low. That you even lie about your own personal beliefs. You know, like I say this many times to the brothers, when we went out to try to convert these Southern Baptists in town, we sat down with their youth minister, and they had a guy there with them, another Southern Baptist, First Baptist Church, because we pray for their conversion. And I sat down to the guy, and I said, look, first of all, before we start to talk, I have to let you know that, you know, you're a heretic, you're outside the Catholic Church, and your religion is false. He goes, oh, no, well, we don't believe that. We all believe in Jesus. I said, well, no, look, we cannot talk unless we get it straight. You really believe that we're Romanist heretics and that we're on the road to hell. Don't you Baptists believe that anymore? Oh, no, we don't believe it anymore. Yeah, but that's really what you believe. So I'd rather appreciate it if you call me a heretic and a Romanist heretic and all that. Then I can talk to you. Let's not lie about what we believe in. That I hate. You're going nowhere with that. So I says, you know, I feel much, I cannot talk to you unless you admit that that's what you people really believe in. So then we sat down and started talking. I mean, the Muslim that comes up now, we call them the Masonic Muslims. I know what your Quran teaches. It teaches that we're infidels and that we're idolaters and we worship three gods instead of one God because they willfully ignore our dogma on the Holy Trinity. And you believe that unless you convert to Islam, you're going to be killed. That's what the Quran teaches. Your Masonic Muslims now come out and say, no, Quran teaches peace for all religions. You lying Muslim. It's bad enough that you're a Muslim, but you're a hypocrite. That's even worse. You're a hypocrite. If I'm going to convert a Muslim, let's go head to head, pal. Let's not lie about what we believe in. In other words, what I'm saying to the Muslim, you can call me an infidel and I'm going to call you an infidel. And then we're going to go at it. I'm going to try to convert you. You're going to try to convert me. Let's not lie. Let's stop this. We worship all the same God. They got the stupid Muslims come out and saying things like this. That's hypocrisy. That's not what the Quran teaches, nor Talmud or Judaism, what that really teaches. We call them Masonic Jews or Masonic Muslims, you know. It's stupid, you know. So after I told that kid, look, according to, I still love you and I want to convert you. That's why I'm sitting down. And I'm nice to them. I don't club them over the head. I am. I tell them I want to convert you. Right now, if the Baptists hear this, I want to convert them. The reason we went to them is because they are keeping some of the natural laws in this town. And they do. I think they have more goodwill. They're lesser evil than the other people. So we pray for this Baptist church here. We really want them to become Catholic. But I don't want to lie. I'm not going to lie. Look, according to our religion, my faith, you're a heretic and you're outside the church and you need to come into the church. And he was going along with this modern stuff that we all believe in Christ, we're all going to heaven. I said, you Protestant, you Southern Baptists didn't believe that until JP2 came around with this, we all, you know.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, you were Romanist heretics and all that, you know. So just call me what you really believe I am and then we can talk. Because
yeah.
It's not logical to say that we believe in the same God. Anyway, God does not bless America. Dear reader, can you honestly say that the God of the Holy Catholic Church, the only true God, blesses America? No. God does not bless America. He curses it. God curses America, land of rebels and false religions and fornication and vice and profanity and lying and hypocrisy and filthiness of all sorts that she spreads from sea to polluted sea. God would not bless America any more than he would bless Sodom and Gomorrah or bless Satan. America is much worse than Sodom and Gomorrah and has spread her vices worldwide. The fact that God has not chastised the United States and has allowed her to wallow in her false prosperity like fatted pigs in mud proves that he has no love at all for the USA. That USA, they always keep hearing. Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. And Apocalypse 3:19, such as I love, I rebuke and chastise. The USA has dwelt under the worst curse God can inflict upon a people and nation. That curse is a false prosperity and a false security. Just like Egypt and the time of Abraham, when his 72 people went into Egypt poor, going through the desert with rags on their back to luxurious Egypt. And what was Egypt? They worship false gods, but they were prosperous. By all appearances to a carnal man who judges everything by the American spirit of whoever has the biggest and most luxurious things is blessed by God. They would think Egypt was serving the true God, and Abraham and his 72 people, his motley crew, were not worshiping the true God. But were actually even probably cursed or something. But Abraham was blessed because God was teaching his chosen people from day one. Don't get too cozy with this earth because your bodies are going to go into the earth and rot and die. Your soul is the most important thing. He did not want to spoil his chosen people. He wanted to have their eyes on the prize. And the prize is the salvation of their souls and not of their bodies and not of this current world. But people would have thought Egypt would have been the blessed. Just like they look at the United States and these wicked Americanist popes, I know they were doing that, looked at the prosperity of the United States and thought God was blessing them. And what did they do? They forgot to think about Egypt, about the false prosperity that God's put upon many nations that were wickedly evil. Many verses we have about false prosperity, King David speaks about it himself. Do not think that those who died in the World Trade Center collapse are more evil than others. No, unless you do penance, repent, and convert, you shall all likewise perish and be damned to everlasting hell fire. Let this minor visitation of God upon the USA serve a good purpose by causing non-Catholics, which includes the multitude of fallen away Catholics, to seek and find the true God who can only be found in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which is not the Conciliar Church or the Vatican II Church invented at the robbers apostate Second Vatican Council with its pretender popes. the false prophets, the apostate antipopes, John the 23rd, Paul the 6th, John Paul I, John Paul II, and now Benedict the 16th, also known as the Rat Man. Repent, convert, and abjure before it is too late. The end of the world comes for each man when he dies, and then comes the terrible judgment. Quote, and as it is appointed unto men to die, and after this the judgment. End quote, Hebrews 9:27. Every Talmudic Jew that dies today is a Talmudic Jew. Every Muslim that dies today is a Muslim. Every nominal Catholic who thinks he's Catholic dies today. They all go to hell straight away immediately. They go to their particular judgment. They're damned. They're doomed. That is their apocalypse. That's the most important thing to worry about. Not even these final day events, which are important to know about, but the most important thing is about the salvation of your own immortal souls. And nobody's preaching this out through the world to anybody today at all. And they're all on the road to hell. Because all these nominal Catholics have that heretical theology of non-judgmentalism. We're not allowed to condemn any sin. Or if you do condemn the sin, you're not allowed to denounce the sinner as a heretic or a mortally sinful person that's on the road to hell. And if we can't tell anybody you're on the road to hell, how are they going to get off that road? And nobody says it anymore today. Just listen to these effeminate, these fairies, and these Norris Ordo churches and these traditionalist churches and the CMRI and the SSP10 and the McKenna's when they get up in their pulpit, these little faggot, effeminate people. Now, I'm not saying they're all homosexuals, but effeminacy does not mean you're just a homo. You don't have to be a homo to be effeminate. Even women can be effeminate. And they don't have to be lesbians. Effeminacy means weakness, non-judgmentalism, sitting back in the face of great evils and saying nothing for the sake of peace. And any man who has a little bit of guts and courage, even if he's not Catholic, does not like that type of stuff. And that's what we're seeing today. All right? So let's just be a warning to everybody right now, before it's too late, you better listen to what I'm saying, because the only place where I know the Catholic Church is today is right here with us and Mary's Little Remnant and the few people that we know are Catholic. And that's the way God's going to do it. Remember when Jesus started out his mission? He started out in Galilee with only 12 apostles, and it grew a little bit at a time. And when you think about Jesus' public ministry, it was only from Galilee to Jerusalem. It was about the size of New Mexico, was the extent of his ministry. So don't be thinking that you're going to have different places, havens all over the place. This is the place. Now, you may have havens other places, but we're at home right now. And God's going to start the conversions coming out from this area, and he will send other people individually to us. But it's not what you think. If you look at the way it happened with Christ, when John the Baptist preached, when Christ started preaching, Christ never left Israel. He never left Israel to preach. He stayed in Israel, and he started from there. And from here, in this New Mexico where we are today, is where God's going to start it, when he starts doing his major miracles for us, because we're going to need them. But that's not going to happen until, first of all my books are corrected, finished, revised, and all the other books are up on the website, and all the videos that God wants up there. And then when that's done, then the time would be ready, but then only when God thinks it's ready. But I know that at least needs to be done first, and that's what's happening. And God's going to send extremely goodwill people in here ahead of time, as he has now, and have been tremendous help to me, because we're all part of this, bringing back the faith to people. He's going to bring individuals in at this moment and do minor miracles, and he does private miracles with us already. And I'm not going to tell everybody about that. That, you know, they're not worried. They want to have the miracles of God. You really do need them. Then become a true Catholic. All right, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.